Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested His eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed His disappearance by removing His form from the sight of those who are unable to see Him as He is due to not executing required penance. Purport. In this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. The conditioned souls in the material world are all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways, but they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. The example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts it on the land, it cannot be happy by any amount of offered pleasure. The spirit soul can be happy only in the association of the Supreme Living Being, the Personality of Godhead, and nowhere else. The Lord, by His unlimited causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahmajyoti sphere of the spiritual world. And in that transcendental world, there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. The Lord Himself comes to display His transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The entire Vedic way of ritualistic performances is to put every conditioned soul on the path of piety. By strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all social orders of life, one can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. Only by such a transcendental vision are one's material hankerings fully satisfied. When the Lord was present, persons who were able to satisfy the material hankering by seeing Him in true perspective were thus able to go back with Him to His kingdom. But those persons who were unable to see the Lord as He is remained attached to material hankerings and were not able to go back home, back to Godhead. When the Lord passed beyond the vision of all, He did so in His original eternal form, as stated in this verse. The Lord left in His own body. He did not leave His body, as is generally misunderstood by the conditioned souls. This statement defeats the false propaganda of the faithless non-devotees that the Lord passed away like an ordinary conditioned soul. The Lord appeared in order to release the world from the undue burden of the non-believing asuras, and after doing this, He disappeared from the world's eyes. Pradarshya tapta tapasam avitripta drisham nrinam adayanta radhadyas tu svabimban lokalochanam. Please repeat the translation after me. Lord Sri Krishna,
Lord Sri Krishna,
who manifested His eternal form,
before the vision of all on the earth,
performed His disappearance,
by removing His form,
from the sight of those
who are unable to see Him
as He is,
due to not executing required penance.
Mukam karoti bachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripataraham bande Sri Gurun Dinataranam. So the Lord's appearance and disappearance are very, very mysterious. And as explained here, even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this world and displays His pastimes, it is only a very special soul who is able to have the word is drishti, Here you see this expression in this verse, avatripta drisham. So this word drisham is a form of drishti. Drishti means vision. Also from this same root we get the word darshan. So we come before Sri Sri Gornitai, or at Korshnas before Sri Sri Gandharvika Gididhari. And in Alnvik, the Panchatattva, Bhagavan Panchatattva are there. So, these are the Archivigraha forms of the Lord, and they have appeared to give us darshan. But we know that whether we can actually begin to appreciate the form of the Lord as He reveals Himself depends on our consciousness. Even though Sri Sri Gornitai are there, if our consciousness is not good, if our consciousness is mixed up and muddled with material desires, then what we will see when we stand before the Lord? Of course, the Lord is there, so He's showering His mercy upon us anyway. But sometimes, I think we all had that experience, due to our mundane consciousness, we don't have appreciation for Krishna's appearance. So Srila Prabhupada said concerning Lord Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago, there's a lecture where Srila Prabhupada said only a few hundred people on the whole earth could actually see Krishna as He was, or as He was is not actually proper because Krishna always is. So as He is, they could not see. Although hundreds and thousands of persons saw Krishna at that time, there's no doubt. But out of them, only a few hundred, only the residents of Vrindavan could actually see Krishna as He is, as Svayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. And even they're not very much concerned with that. What is Krishna's tattva, that He is Svayam Bhagavan, He is the original Vishnu. They're not very much concerned with that. They're concerned with serving and loving Krishna as their dearmost friend, their dearmost son, child, their dearmost lover. So their vision of Krishna is impelled. You see, their eyes cannot help but be drawn to Krishna out of their loving affection. Therefore, the gopis, they're rebuking Lord Brahma that you have made these eyes that blink. So when our eyes blink closed, then we're suffering very much for that instant, because then we cannot see Krishna. So rather they wanted Brahma to give them thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of eyes so that they could always be drinking the form of Krishna. So such is the darshan, such is the drishti of the pure devotee of Krishna. And only the pure devotee can actually see Krishna. So it is said that in this verse, that when Krishna performed His disappearance, His pastime of disappearance, He removed His form from those who were seeing but not see. Just like it is said concerning that particular pastime of Krishna's disappearance, all the demigods were seeing. They were looking from heaven. So, Shaudamanya Yatakashe Yantya. Anyway, this verse explains. Shodamanya Yatakashe Yantya Hit Vabdra Mandalam. That to these demigods, the Lord's disappearance was as difficult to understand as the leaping of a bolt of lightning from out of a cloud. Now, you've all seen thunderstorm. You've all seen the lightning flash. And it's very difficult. You don't know from when it's going to come. Suddenly, you see this lightning flash. And it is moving suddenly. Suddenly it is here, suddenly it is there. It is jumping like this. And it is very bewildering to try to ascertain what is the form of this lightning bolt, what precisely is it shaped like. And even the scientists, they say that the lightning leaps up to the cloud from the earth. If you read in a modern text, scientific text about lightning, they will say this, that the lightning is jumping from the earth to the cloud. Do you know this? No? Scientist doesn't know this. Anyway, I have seen this in some books. Now we cannot accept that, because as the verse I've just quoted, Shodamanya Yata Kashe, says clearly that the lightning bolt leaps from the cloud to the earth. So we know that Indra is the wielder of the lightning. So it's not coming from the earth. So anyway, this is another example of how bewildering lightning is, that big scientists are thinking it's coming from the earth and going to the sky. So like that, Gatir na lakshate, it is said that when Lord Krishna, Gatir na lakshate martyaish, yatra krishnasya devata, when Krishna displayed his pastime of returning to the spiritual world, or winding up his earthly pastimes, and returning to Goloka Vrindavan. So the demigods, they were bewildered by this. Mostly the demigods, they think that Krishna, when he appears, is the incarnation of Paramatma, of Lord Vishnu, Super Soul. So when Krishna performs his disappearance pastimes, they think maybe that he's returning into the hearts of all living entities, or he's returning to the Vishnu Loka here in the material sphere, the ocean of milk, Chirudakshai Vishnu Loka. Or maybe the most perceptive may think that he's merging back into the form of Mahavishnu. But they're all bewildered, because that's not what's happening. So out of all those demigods, 33 million demigods, it is said, Brahma Rudra Daryastu Te, that only, Drishtva Yoga, Drishtva Yoga Gatim Hari, Brahma Rudra Daryastu Te, Drishtva Yoga Gatim Hari. So we hear this word again, Drishtva, Drishtva, Drisham, Darshan, Drishti, same word. Out of all those 33 million demigods, it is said only a few, and two are mentioned, Brahma and Rudra. So Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and a few others, they could actually understand, or they could actually see, Drishtva, Yoga Gatim. They could see the goal. Gatim means goal, yoga. The goal of the Lord's yoga. The Lord, by his mystic yoga, by his mystic potency, was leaving this world and ascending somewhere else. Where he was going, most of the demigods could not understand. But Rama, Lord Shiva, a few others, they could see that he's returning back home to the spiritual world, to the topmost Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. So, Now, it is said in this verse that to be able to understand Krishna, to see him as he really is, requires tapasa, requires sufficient penances, punya. It is also said like this, kritta punya. Kritta punya means, in order to know Krishna, one needs to have performed many, 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 many pious activities in the past. Without this, then one may have some understanding of Krishna, as it is said that the great mystics, itam satam brahma sokanubhutya, the great mystics, the jnanis, the yogis, they could appreciate Krishna, brahma sokanubhutya, as the supreme Brahman, from which they derive their spiritual bliss. So those who are impersonalists or yogis, they will see Krishna only according to that level of realization. And then there are those who are humble servants of the Lord, thinking him to be para daivatena. He is the supreme among the demigods. These are the followers of the Vedic rituals. Dasyam gatanam para daivatena. So they're in the mood of dasya, of servitorship. They're making ritualistic service to the Lord through offering of jagyas and chanting of mantras. So they understand Krishna as being Lord Vishnu, Aditya Vishnu, who has appeared among the demigods and who was worshipped by all the demigods as the supreme demigod, Paradeva. But this also is not, this is not the true understanding of Krishna. And then there are those who are ordinary souls, mayashrityanam. They have taken shelter of maya. Mayashrityanam. Narada Daruka. So these persons, they can only understand Krishna to be an ordinary person like themselves. So when Krishna appears, this is how most of the population see him. Because most of the population, maya shritanam, they have fallen under the spell of illusion of maya. They do not have the required penances, austerities, pious deeds to get their vision, their drishti, free of maya to see Krishna as he is. But then there are those, sakam vijahu kritta punya punja, it is said. Sakam means they are Krishna's friends. They have friendly, loving relationship with Krishna. And vijahu, they're enjoying with Krishna in personal, loving relationships. Now, how did they get in that position? Satam vijahu kritta punya punja. Because they have amassed heaps and heaps, mountains of kritta punya, pious activities. Therefore, they can enter into intimate relationship with Krishna. So just see the position of the pure devotee. Even the great Brahmavadis and Paramatmavadis, they are locked out. They can't get in to this intimate, loving relationship, enjoying with Krishna his pastimes. Even the perfect brahmanas who follow Varnashram Dharma, who perform Vedic rituals, who worship Krishna as these, supreme among the demigods, they're also locked out. What to speak of most people who are in Maya? They're certainly locked out. So, position of devotee is most rare. So then, it is said, Prabhupada mentions the verse in the purport. He refers to that verse, one of the last verses of the seventh chapter, Bhagavad Gita, which says what is that? Jananam Punya Karmanam. How does it start? You know? Anyway, one has to have, one has to be free of all sinful activities. Papa karma. Yesham tvantagatam papam. Yes. Yesham tvantagatam papam. One has to be already cleared of all sinful reactions. Completely. And then jananam punya karmanam. And then have amassed punya karma, pious activities. Te dvanva moha nirmukta. And be free of all illusion in the form of duality. Duality means, as we were reading last night, for instance, the conception of difference between Krishna's body and Krishna himself. This Mayavadi scholar, Radhakrishnan, Prabhupada accused him of duality because he was thinking that Krishna's form is material. Krishna, or the, not Krishna, but the Supreme is impersonal and is acting through the form of Krishna. But Krishna's form is not transcendental. So, you see, this is the last snare of Maya. Prabhupada was, in his writing, was praising that Dr. Radhakrishnan for being a great scholar, philosopher, and a good brahmana. So if one is a brahmana, then that means also no sinful activities. That means one is performing only pious activities. But is he free of duality? Then that's the next question. So this Dr. Radhakrishnan, he was not free of duality. So he also is disqualified. So finally, one who has these qualifications, then he can engage in the Lord's service. So then we might ask ourselves, what is our position in this scheme? These are the statements of scriptures. But we are coming from sinful background. What is our punya? What is our pious activity? We were born in the Mlecha Desh, the lands of the dog eaters, cow eaters, all sinful people. And we were also trained up in these sinful activities. So what is the chance for us to become Krishna conscious, to understand anything about Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada writes here, the Lord Himself comes to display His transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. So the Lord has a mission when He comes, to display His pastimes, to attract the conditioned souls. But when we are impious, we are not attracted. So it is a question of becoming pious. So there is a very easy and sublime method to become pious, to get the prerequisite piety, to become attracted to Krishna's pastimes. And that is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shru shru shro shradhanyasya vasudeva kataru chishan mahat sevya vipra punya Tirthanishevana. That Lord Krishna's pure devotee appears in this world also. Along with Krishna, or also he comes himself separately from Krishna to deliver those fallen conditioned souls who don't have a chance to see Krishna. So the pure devotee of the Lord speaks about Krishna's pastimes. He reveals Krishna's pastimes to us through his words, Vaikuntha Vacha. His vacha, his speech, has the quality of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Vacha Gunarna Varni. So by his the sound vibration emanating from his lotus mouth, Vaikuntha is revealed, or the pastimes of Krishna are revealed. So, Shushusho Shradidhanasya. We should hear these descriptions of Krishna's activities from the pure devotee. And Syan Mahat Sevya Vipra, we should render service to the pure devotee. In this way, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. In this way, taste. Ruchi means taste. Taste will develop in our hearts to hear more and more about Krishna. So Krishna is absolute. If he displays his lila, his prakat lila it is called, the manifest pastimes, or if we hear about his lila 5,000 years later, there's no difference because Krishna is absolute. So if you become attracted to hearing about Krishna, then you're becoming attracted to Krishna himself. What does this mean? This means, obviously, that you have amassed pious activities. So this piety, this punya, it comes from serving the Lord's representative. We may not have any punya, all papa, all sinful activities, but as soon as we begin to serve the Lord through serving his devotee, then immediately those sinful activities are destroyed. They're driven away, far, far away, and heaps of pious activities begin to amass. So serving the pure devotee of the Lord means to serve his mission, and his mission is Krishna's mission. We've read what Krishna's mission is. Krishna appears in this world to attract the conditioned souls to him. But they may have difficulty being attracted due to their sinful activities, so therefore the pure devotee appears to give them a chance to become cleansed of their sinful activities so that then they can become attracted to Krishna. So the pure devotee has a mission. That is his mission. Attract as many conditioned souls to Krishna as possible. So he's actually attracting everyone to Krishna by his love for Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada came to the West, came to New York in 1965 and began the mission of attracting Westerners. Do this. Accept his own love for Krishna. He had no big temple to show the Western people. He had not even books. He had some books, but not many. He had not a large crew of expert kirtaniers to make beautiful kirtan, to attract everyone by music. It was simply Srila Prabhupada and his own love for Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada was speaking, glorifying Krishna with such love and conviction, and leading kirtan with such love and conviction, and also cooking, making prasada, which was so ecstatic. So by these very simple methods, persons who are very, very sinful, extremely sinful, through association with Srila Prabhupada, through partaking the prasadam cooked by him, by hearing his message, by joining with him in kirtan, those persons very quickly also became attracted to Krishna by association. So then in turn, when one becomes endowed with this, actually it is loving attraction or loving ecstasy, which is pouring forth from the pure devotee of the Lord. So when one becomes endowed by this loving attraction to serve Krishna by serving the pure devotee, then he has to serve the mission. This is the meaning of service. You render desired service. So that service is serve this mission of attracting more and more conditioned souls to Krishna consciousness. So in turn, he who has become magnetized, the pure devotee can be compared to a magnet who appears in this world, and we are useless lumps of iron. But in his association, we become attached to him, and by that attachment, we also become magnetized. This is how it works. So then, we can attract others. And this is the proof that we have become magnetized. If someone is somehow or other taking shelter, taking association of a pure devotee, but does not exhibit this magnetic quality, then it means something is wrong in his motivation. He must be taking shelter of the pure devotee for some other purpose. And sometimes that is seen because of someone's economic necessities. He thinks, yes, let me join this Krishna consciousness movement and fill my belly. Let me go for power, prestige, position, like that. So, although they are associating with pure devotee of the Lord, they're rather impotent when it comes to preaching Krishna consciousness. Anyway, that is also there. The pure devotee even offers material facilities just to attract that class of man to Krishna consciousness, because he wants everybody to come to Krishna. By coming into the association of devotees for whatever purpose and remaining, then gradually one becomes purified and develops the proper motive. So, that is the kritta punya. That is the kritta punya. That is the pious activity. Simply to serve the mission of the pure devotee, to push on this Krishna consciousness movement enthusiastically. The enthusiasm is itself Srila Prabhupada's endowment upon his sincere followers. Because in order to preach successfully, one has to be enthusiastic. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, a dead man cannot preach. So this liveliness, this enthusiasm for serving Krishna, this is the endowment of the pure devotee. All endowments are there because this Krishna consciousness movement is manifested out of Sri Guru Parampara. So all the great acharyas, they give their full blessings upon those who fully take up this mission, which is Krishna's own mission, Lord Chaitanya's own mission. So, this is the way. even for persons like us who are very sinful, to get rid of our sins and amass kritta punya, the type of pious activities required in order to understand Krishna as He is, in order indeed to enter into Krishna's pastimes. Ko na kuryat kataratim. Then who could fail to be attracted? This is the question the sages ask. Who could fail to be attracted to this mission of spreading Krishna Katha to all corners of the world? Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes? Yes.
And if somebody is not pure devotee, but somehow or other he is engaged in religion, if he is offended by someone, what is the result of this offense to this person?
It is the same result, because the Lord says, Aham bhakta paradino hi ashvatanta eva dvija, Sadhubhya Grasta Hridaya Bhakto Bhakta Jana Priya. The Lord says, I am bound to my pure devotee, Aham Bhakta Paradino. To my devotee I am bound up. Yashva Tantra Iva Dvija. You can never separate me from my pure devotee. Sadhubhya Grasta Hridaya Bhakto. There is a very, very deep relationship, heart-to-heart relationship between I and my devotee. So, after saying this, Krishna says, Bhakta Jana Priya. In fact, this relationship is so dear, is so deep, that one who becomes Bhakta Jana, a follower of my devotee, Bhakta Jana Priya, then he is also dear to me. See, I love my devotee so much that if he makes friends, that's what Bhakta Jana means, to make friendship or makes associates in this material world among the conditioned souls, they become his disciples, they become his helpers, assistants. Somehow they become connected to him. Then they too are very dear to me. So these Bhakta Jana, They may not be themselves pure devotees. But if we offend them, we're actually offending the pure devotee, because they are associated with the pure devotee. So Sri Krishna, he will consider that if we offend the Bhakta Jana, we are offending his Bhakta. And the reaction will be the same for us. So don't do it. Are there any other questions? Yes?
I want to ask you, why is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called as Triyuga?
No. It is not Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is given that name. Of course, on the other side we can say, because Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead himself, and the personality of Godhead has the name Triyuga, then you can apply in that way. But Lord Vishnu, the supreme the personality of Godhead, is known as Triyuga because his incarnations, which are explained in most of the Vedic scriptures, these incarnations are only appearing in three yugas, not in Kali Yuga. So generally, you'll find those who are Vishnu Bhaktas, devotees of Vishnu, they think that Lord Vishnu doesn't appear in the Kali Yuga. But he does. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj is making the statement that the Lord appears in the Kali Yuga as Channa Avatar, which means hidden incarnation. That incarnation is not known to most people as being incarnation of Krishna himself. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya does not display the pastimes of the Lord, but he displays the pastimes of a devotee of the Lord. And only his most confidential associates, like Swarup Damodar, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they know the Lord's actual identity, that he is Krishna himself. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has offered that Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Budayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tivishi Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself in his most munificent incarnation, because he's giving what no other incarnation has ever given before, pure love of Krishna. So, yes, commonly the Lord is understood as Tri Yuga. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is himself the Kali Yuga avatar, the avatar who appears in the Kali Yuga. So it's not very good to apply this name to him, Tri Yuga. Yes? Well, Lord Kalki and Lord Buddha also, Lord Buddha also appears in the Kali Yuga. But they are Shaktyavesh avatar. Now, Shaktyavesh avatar, there are actually so many Shaktyavesh avatars. So, even the pure devotee is counted as Shaktyavesh avatar. Srila Prabhupada is Shaktyavesh avatar. But what's being referred to by this Tri Yuga means the Lord in his Vishnu Tattva form. Vishnu Tattva avatar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself, I am just an ordinary soul. When someone would say, oh, you are Krishna himself, he would block his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, never say that the jiva is Vishnu. This is Mayavadi philosophy. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described by the acharyas, Radha Krishna Nahyanya. He's none other than Sri Sri Radha and Krishna mixed together into one golden form, Lord Gaurasundara. Yes?
One more question, what is the proper behavior if somebody is attending?
If he is making offense to us personally, then you may ask him, why are you dealing with me in this way? You ask him humbly, have I done something to disturb you? But you should not become irritated or agitated if someone offends you, because we should consider ourselves to be so fallen and worthless that if somebody does offend us, whatever offense he makes is much, much less than we actually deserve. But still, because you are servant of the Lord yourself, you have to consider that it is not good for him, perhaps, unless it is warranted, unless you've actually done something to him. But it is probably not good for him to act in this way. So then you should humbly go to him and say, Prabhu, I see you dealing with me in this harsh way or whatever. You're criticizing me. Maybe we could talk about this. We could get to the bottom of it, why you're doing like this. Because this does not make a very good atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, and we should try to love and serve each other as devotees and not have such troublesome relationships between us. So you try to speak reasonably, but don't be defensive, don't be counter-offensive. This is the mundane platform. So it's only that if someone offends the spiritual master or other devotees, or of course the Lord himself, then we have a duty, we actually have a responsibility to become angry and to take action. Yesterday I was just reading Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was saying that it is very, very good if a Vaishnava becomes angry, becomes agitated when he hears some criticism against his guru or against the community of Vaishnavas or against the Lord. It is actually devotional service to become angry. But just keep this in mind, not against yourself, not that, but against another devotee or spiritual master or Krishna. And we must become angry. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, it is the Mayavadis who are so mellow that they will tolerate anything, even if their spiritual master is offended, or even if Krishna is offended. They don't mind. Why? Because according to their philosophy, the spiritual master is in any case just an ordinary man. Krishna is also just an ordinary man. Krishna, they say, when he appeared, he just had a material body. Maybe Brahman spoke through him, but Krishna himself is just an ordinary person. So if somebody criticizes Krishna, anyway, their philosophy just consists of criticism of Krishna. That's all it is. So they themselves are offenders. So what action they'll take against another offender? So we should see this, that if we think, if there's some voice somewhere in the back of our mind, liberal Swedish voice, which says, oh, we should not become disturbed. Here someone is coming to take the deities off the altar. Anyway, we have to be peaceful. This is simply the inward Mayavadi speaking. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, this is the policy of the Mayavadis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, according to time, place, circumstance, you must react, but you cannot always react in the same way. So, actually, in this Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to put into effect the most recommended reaction, which is, should cut the tongue out from the mouth of a blasphemer. Now, in previous ages, when there were society was ruled by Kshatriyas, whose duty was to defend Dharma, then that policy could easily be taken. If you don't want to do it yourself, you just call for a Kshatriya, and they will come, and they will do it. And even if you do it yourself, when the Kshatriyas come, they'll say, oh, very good. You saved us some work. But in this day and age, because everybody has become offender out of ignorance, and government, you see, law is administered by demons. So if we do like this, then we will be the ones who get in trouble. And then this mission of Krishna consciousness, as we've been explaining, the mission to attract everyone to Krishna, that mission will become severely disrupted. So either you defeat that person by argument and get him to retract his offensive criticism, or if you can't do that, you just go away. So generally that's what we do, especially in a Sankirtan situation, because the goal of Sankirtan is really not to go around and have philosophical discussions with people and defeat them and, you know, make them into devotees right there on the street. But the mission of Sankirtan, book distribution, is to get them to take a book as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Because you want to distribute as many books as possible, because that is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. That is his mission. We must serve the mission, as I've been explaining. That is our only pious activity, that we serve the mission. So if we want to become endowed by this attraction to Krishna, then we have to serve this mission to the best of our capability. So that means try to distribute as many books as possible. If you meet an offender, a blasphemer, a critic, then let him go. Find someone else. There are plenty of conditioned souls out there. Not all of them are offenders. You find one who's nice, who will take Prabhupada's book. So actually, we should always be praying to our spiritual master and to the Lord from within the innermost core of our heart, that He protect us. Because we are, you see, yes, we are very sinful. We are very unqualified. So because we are so sinful, you should see like this. Because I am so sinful, therefore I attract sinful people. Therefore, I attract these offenders. Because I myself am afflicted by the same disease. So my dear Lord, my dear spiritual master, please have mercy on me, for I am a great sinner. And protect me. And please empower me in some way or other, that I can, in spite of my sinful disqualifications, that I can attract some pious persons. Or if there's no pious persons, please you act from within their hearts and make them do some pious deed today. Take this book. They may be sinful, but you see, we should remember that if we were actually pious, then we would encourage them, we would inspire them to pious deeds. Srila Prabhupada once said like that. He said, he once made a comment that a real brahmachari, Brahma means spirit, and achar means practice or behavior. So one who has real spiritual behavior, who's really free of any tinge of sense gratification, in the mind and the intelligence, what to speak of in the senses. Srila Prabhupada said that if such a genuine brahmachari appears on the street in some city like Stockholm, then his presence would be so considered so wonderfully extraordinary. Just by seeing him, people would feel that their hearts are becoming uplifted. Prabhupada said, businessmen, if a real brahmachari appeared on the street, then businessmen would come down out of their big buildings and come on the street before him and say, "What can I do for you?" So we should ask ourselves, When I go on Sankirtan, do I have this experience? Are businessmen coming down the elevators of their big skyscrapers and coming out and saying, "Oh, my dear saintly young man, what can I do for you? Shall I go up and open my vault, open my safe, and deliver the contents to you? Shall I turn over my whole company to Krishna's service? What do you want? Can I give you a Sankirtan van?" So if we find this is not happening, then we should understand that it is due to lingering sinful contamination. So therefore we have to always be praying to our spiritual master and to the Lord in the heart. "My dear Lord, my dear spiritual master, please have mercy upon me, for I am a sinner and yet I am trying to serve you." How can we've just read a sinful person can't be attracted to Krishna. He can't properly render service to Krishna. Krishna says this. We just quoted the verse. Yesham tvantagatam papam. There should be no sin there. Pajanti mam dridavrataha. In order to be able to serve Krishna nicely, one has to be free from all sin. So how are we going to do this? What is our position? And therefore we must pray. We must pray for their mercy. And then by being endowed with mercy in the form of attraction to hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. In this way, our hearts are always fixed on Krishna. Then we may become at least a little bit magnetized. You see, that we can also attract others to Krishna, to engage in this mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anything else? Yes?
Krishna appeared, the name God's also taking birth. Then what happens when the heavens are taking responsibility for ruling?
Well, the demigods are able. They're very powerful. And they are able to expand themselves. They participate in the Lord's pastimes by expanding themselves. They can leave an expansion up there in the heavenly world to act in the post while they themselves take part in the Lord's pastimes. They're not like us. As soon as we're given more than one instruction, we don't know what to do anymore. Yes? Shadbuja. Sri Shadbuja. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this Sri Shadbuja form to Lord Nityananda and to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya at certain select times. He shows this form, which demonstrates that he is the same Krishna who appeared 5,000 years ago playing flute with two hands. And before that, he was Lord Ramchandra who appeared with bow and arrow. And now he has come again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding danda and water pot. So, Srila Prabhupada said that we can worship Sri Shadbuj in ISKCON. He advised that we worship him along with Lord Jagannath Baladev Shubhadra because the Lord manifested this form at Jagannath Puri.
we have in Sofia, also in Oslo, there's Shadbuj. But as of yet, no Jagannath. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes?
What is the Kali Yuga in the 999 other Kali Yugas?
Expansion. Shaktyavesh expansion. Who appears in the other Kali Yugas and teaches the Yuga Dharma, Sankirtan. But this Sankirtan relieves the conditioned souls of their sinful reactions and brings them to the stage of liberation. In other words, they're transferred back home, back to Godhead. Vaishnav liberation. Four kinds of Vaishnav liberation are made available to them. But Krishna prema is only delivered when the original personality of Godhead himself takes that role of the Yuga avatar, and that he does only in this Kali Yuga, out of all the Kali Yugas in the day of Brahma. Yes? Well, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj wrote that little book. What is it called? Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness? Yes. So in there he gave many nice examples. Actually, science is always confronted in its investigation of material phenomena. They're always confronted with inexplicable wonders. So there's any number. You can open up any science book. Yes? Well, you know, scientists are human beings, and human beings have different persuasions. Not all scientists are gross materialistic atheists. Some of them are, and some of them are simply limited in their understanding or their interests only to technology, you know, mechanics. So therefore, because they're they're actually of Shudra quality, therefore their view, their interests in science and their view of the world is colored by that. So as you say, they just see things in terms of pushes and pulls. And even though they can understand that that is insufficient to explain cosmic phenomena, pushes and pulls, they won't be interested because they're technologists. So, but there are others who are who realize that there must be something beyond these, the scientists of the new physics, so to speak. They declare that consciousness is the basis of everything.
not physics, not physical pushes and pulls, but actually, that's a funny thing. Somebody has made the comment that when you look at psychology, you look at science and you begin with psychology, which psychology. So it's supposed to be the study of the psyche or the soul. But when you speak with psychologists, they are great materialists. I mean, they're very mechanistic in their outlook, and they say that actually all of psychology can be explained by biology, by the workings of the physical organs of the body. There actually is no independent mental activity at all. Many psychologists say like this. And then, so they say, they refer you to biology. And then you go to the biologists and try to find an explanation there, and they will refer you to the chemists. They will say everything in biology can be explained through chemistry. And then you go to the chemists, and they'll refer you to the physicists. They'll say everything in chemistry is explainable through physics. And then you go to the physicists, and they will say everything in physics is explainable only through consciousness. So you expect the physicist to be the most gross, but actually it turns out that many of them are looking beyond matter. But then again, then mostly they're, or all of them, are Mayavadis. Their understanding is impersonal. But anyway, as I said, there are different kinds of scientists and they have their different interests and persuasions. So the art is to engage them according to their interest. Even one who's very mechanistic in his outlook, he can also serve Krishna. He can employ his talents in creating machines. You're doing that. It can be used in Krishna's service. So, you see, finally, scientists are, as I said, human beings. And you have to look at them as human beings. When you're preaching with someone, you have to see them. Well, actually, we have to see them as spirit soul, as part and parcel of Krishna. But they're situated in this human body, so they're conditioned in certain ways. One has to find individually for this person what is the particular key to unlock his attraction to Krishna consciousness. Yes, now some people may be completely atheistic, but as I said, that's not just scientists. There are plenty of priests, religious authorities, who are completely atheistic, completely opposed to Krishna consciousness. And then there's some who are nice, and the same is true among scientists. Yes? Well, Krishna deals individually with his devotees. So, if it depends on, ultimately it's personal, individual. But just to give some general observations on this, if Krishna sees that your attachment is not so strong, then Krishna may allow you to indulge in that attachment while serving him until you yourself realize that this is an impediment to your service. And then you just give it up. There's the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, for instance, who was receiving money from his family, and he was first of all using this money to prepare nice feasts for Lord Chaitanya and the Vaishnavas. But gradually, just by his own realization, he began to think, this is not very nice, not very good for me to be so dependent on this support from my family. So then he, of his own accord, became more and more austere until he was so austere beyond any possibility of our imitating him. So, but then we may be more attached, you see, persistently attached, that we don't come to the point where we will, of our own realization, our own understanding, want to give it up. So then Krishna may take it away from us in his own way. And that may be painful. But then there's also the Vaishnavas around us, and there's our spiritual master. Actually, we should, whatever we're doing in devotional service, we should do in consultation with Guru and Sadhu. Shastra, Guru, Sadhu. These are our three checks. Maybe we're not so learned in Shastra as to realize by reading that I'm maintaining some attachment that I shouldn't maintain. But we should listen, certainly listen to our spiritual master. He's observing us in our activities, and if he sees some fault and points it out, then we have to take that very, very seriously. And if the spiritual master is not nearby to offer his direct comment upon our service, directly oversee what we're doing, then we serve in the association of other devotees, certainly, other sadhus, and their opinion is considered on the same level. We simply have to check with our spiritual master that he approves, but if sadhu points out some fault in our service, we should not disregard it. We should not think, oh, who is he? So that is there. If we're actually taking Vaishnava Sangha seriously, then we have that help. So, and then sometimes, if the attachment is really, really persistent, it drags the poor soul out into Maya, and there he has to cook for some time. And when he gets sufficiently fried, then he may come back. So it's really, I suppose we can sum it up by saying, it's really the degree of intelligence. The more we intelligent we are, then the more we will see ourselves these faults, or at least be able to take good advice from others and correct our mistakes on their direction. And the less intelligent we are, the more we won't be able to see our own faults, and the more we won't listen to others. And then the more we have to learn from what is called the school of hard knocks. So the knocking on the head will start within devotional service. Krishna will give us some loving knocks on the head. Give this up. And if we don't listen to that, then Maya will come with her club and beat us on the head. And her beats are very much more severe. Any other questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.